Anybody else have anything to add about how we're going to be going along in the class? I hope everyone can agree with that. This sounds good to you. Yeah. You going to answer questions when I ask them? Yes, everyone says yes? All right. So, Galatians, the introduction, page 3. I'm going to jump right into it. We start out with a question. We're looking at all aspects of Galatians from a general standpoint. Beginning with, who wrote the epistle? Who wrote this letter to the Galatians?
Paul.
Paul. And I had verses here. In Galatians, beginning in Galatians 1, and 1:1, and also in 5:2. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father. And also in chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in liberty by which Christ has made us free. Wait a second. Wrong one. Verse 2. And indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. We see Paul. What else do we see in those verses?
Circumcised.
Sorry, about who wrote the epistle.
He's really kind of saying that God, it's not man that wrote it. It's God.
Yes.
Even though he wrote it, he was inspired.
Yes, he is. What else specifics about Paul are mentioned there? He's an apostle. And it gives a little more detail here. But who assigned him as an apostle?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, by the will of God. It wasn't by man or through man. And we're going to get more into that detail later. Also in Galatians, chapter 1, verse 13. And I forgot to mention, I'll probably start calling people to read verses for me. I don't want to be reading them all day, the whole time. Or at least maybe taking volunteers first. Hey, who wants to read this? Then if anyone raises their arm, I'll start calling out. So in Galatians, verse 13, and also in verse 13, anyone want to read that? What do we see about Paul here?
And you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God, vowed and tried to overthrow it.
Yes. And in correlation to that, if you look back to Acts 9, verse 1 through 2,
then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem.
Thank you. In Acts 22, several different accounts. In front of this, in Acts 22, verses 3 through 5.
I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering women into prisons, both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished.
What have we seen in these verses about Paul?
Persecuted the church.
Yeah, he's Paul, the formerly Saul, who persecuted the church. He writes that by his own hand in this letter, and that's correlated from Luke's letter in Acts. So, this is a man who everyone knows. The Christians, he was the persecutor of the church. The Christians who were Christians at the time know of him. The Sanhedrin, who he's working for, the Jewish organization, they knew of him. He worked closely with them. And this description fits. One man, him.
He was very feared by the Christians.
Yeah, he was very feared by the early Christians.
Michael, also, it's very important to these readers that he's writing to that he shows his background in Judaism also. It's not just that he persecuted the way, but that he was zealous for God and that he was a tutor underneath, you know, the mill. And so, because of what he's going to address in this letter. And so it's important from the get-go that he has established his credentials, not only as an apostle, but where he's coming from.
Yes, that's correct. That's exactly correct. And we're going to be studying that a great more in further detail later. But so here we know for a fact, we've ascertained who this man was, who he stated he is, and that correlates with other passages. I also want to get one more specific about Paul in Galatians 2, verse 7 and 9. Any readers?
But on the contrary, seeing that I have been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who had effectively worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectively worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised.
And also in Acts 9:15, I'll read that one real quick myself. 9:15, this is during Paul's conversion. Paul spoke to him, speaking to Ananias. So the Lord said to him, go, for Paul is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So what specifics about Paul we just read?
The Lord chose him and he was an apostle to the Gentiles.
That's right. He was specifically assigned to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Stop that. If you bring me, I'm not a big public speaker. So if I start picking up these bad habits, remind me. I think about in the last class I started doing some habits that continued throughout the whole class, and later I was like, oh man, that's horrible. So try to fake comfort up here.
You're among friends.
So we know who wrote this epistle. We know it's completely verified. We know without a shadow of a doubt who this man was. We have a great deal of detail about him. There shouldn't be any conjecture about who wrote this book. Maybe slightly different with the time of when it was written.
Michael?
Yes.
In verse 2 of Galatians 1, it says, and all the brethren who are with me. So do you think Paul is kind of sending this message with the brethren that are with him being aware of what he's sending? Because, you know, it talks about who's sending it, and then who's going to receive it, the churches of Galatia. But he says Paul, and then the commas and parentheses. So it basically goes Paul and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia.
Yes. I'm sure that the people who were with him were aware of it, but when we look at some of the other introductions, greetings to other churches, and this is pretty common, that just Paul didn't travel alone. There's always somebody with him. Throughout different epistles, he names them by name sometimes. In this case, he didn't. Other times Titus is with him, Luke is with him, Barnabas is with him, sometimes Barnabas isn't, so forth. I think he's just, again, mentioning that there's people with him. And when we get to what this book is about, I think this also helps affirm his apostleship, because that's one of the things that comes in question. And so, there are statements he's making, and he's not making them by himself. Mm-hmm. There are people with him that believe the same thing.
And sometimes, other people wrote the letter for him, actually, and he sent it. This time, in chapter 6, it says, I write with my own hand. So many times, Tychicus or, some writer wrote Erasmus. They actually were writing as Paul, you know, dictated. But he's actually telling them that I'm writing it in my opinion.
Yes.
And so, you know, there are people, whether it's as you get into the time, whether on a journey or between journeys, you know, someone was always attending him, especially.
Yes. Yeah, so this is not uncommon. So the time of writing, I've listed a few things by their omission may help us find when this the time this is written, and it may not. It may just be things that were omitted. Firstly, that I say it was most likely before the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and is as the adherence to the law of Moses and circumcision, this book is hotly debated. You know, once the temple is destroyed and Judaism is sort of unraveled, that wouldn't be a big issue. Then again, like I said, some of these things are just omitted. Doesn't necessarily prove anything. It's just facts. I say it's also probably written before Paul's Roman imprisonment. In the other of the prison epistles, he mentions that when he's in prison, hey, I'm in prison, writing to you from prison, and so forth. And there's no mention of that here as well. And also the collection of the saints that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He doesn't speak of the collection here. Then, you know, that could show that it's before the time the collection began. Perhaps it's already occurred. Or perhaps he didn't write about it. I think he just didn't mention it. Yes, Mike?
2 and 10 make that reference. But it would have been prior to.
Yes. And that's speaking about the meeting in Jerusalem. And there were several collections as well. We studied Acts. I don't think they made it to that part of the class. But there was the collection that was ongoing when someone prophesied that there was going to be a famine in Jerusalem. And that was well before the Jerusalem Council or before Paul went on his first journey.
It was before.
Yeah, before. And they made a collection. And when he made a collection, they went, well, I think he's in Antioch. He was sent with that money to Jerusalem, and then from there he set out back on his first journey and traveled through. So, and then we have the Corinthians, which of course is after his other second journey. He's back, and he's now there's another collection. So there's multiple collections. So it's not 100% verifiable. I just wanted to mention it. So now the time identifiers that are given in the text by their actual statement. And here I give some verses. What are some of these time identifiers given in Galatians 2, 1 through 5?
Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. It was because of a revelation that I went up, and I submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you.
Yes. And correlating that, let's look back to Acts 15. I'll read that one real quick. In Acts 15. Verse 1 and 2. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And also verse 4, and when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church, the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. And continuing in 12, just showing that what Paul said there, and all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. So what helps date this epistle from the statements of Galatians?
Even after this period of time.
That's correct.
And it's after, so it would be after 50 AD.
Yes. That's absolutely correct. We see in Acts 15 is, you know, the verses talk about the Jerusalem Council, the question that arose about making Gentile converts be circumcised. Paul went there along with Barnabas, and we see here in the first, in the second chapter of Galatians, speaking of that council, that how he went there by revelation to discuss that very thing. So we know this letter was written after the Jerusalem Council, which was occurred approximately 50 A.D. Galatians 1:6.
I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel.
Does this give us any identification of time? Potentially?
Soon, quickly.
Yes.
His first journey was in 45 A.D. And his second journey was in 50-53 A.D. So now I'm in there. And he went to the Church of Galatia. So it's, you know, he's writing to them after he has gone there. And so they're quickly deserting the actual gospel that he taught them.
Yes, we know Paul began his first journey after the Jerusalem Council. Is being completed at 51-53, somewhere in there. And so we know he's been through this region. They're already converted. He had two other journeys through Galatia where he spoke with them. And so you know it's after at least the first one, and it could be anywhere. And like I said, we're sort of putting a time barrier. It's before the destruction of Jerusalem. When is he writing this letter? After the first journey? After the second journey? After the third journey? We see here, yeah, it's so soon turned away, so quickly. Gives, at least in my mind, the thought that these people are converted, and not long after their conversion, they're starting to turn away from the Lord. So, that so quickly, it means different things to different people. It's sort of a subjective term. It could be, months to, many years. I like to think it was, relatively quickly, not after 10 years had passed, especially after he's been there multiple times. Also in Galatians 1:9 and also chapter 5:21.
As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed.
Is it 5:21? I thought maybe it was 1:21.
Yeah, 5:21's wrong. No, it's 5:21. Sorry. You want to read 5:21? I'll read it real quick. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so what is he saying here in both these verses? Might give it some indication of time. He's already talking about it. He's saying, I've said this before in times past. I've said this multiple times. That one you can't put a whole lot of... I don't put a whole lot of... It is a time statement. We know, of course, he has to have been there already. He's mentioned these things several times. There's a lot of conjecture about the time from different readings I've read, and this is one of the statements. These statements are some of which they believe, he's talking multiple times. That must have been the multiple journeys to them have occurred. And then now this puts it, past the second journey or even the third journey. I think that's pretty weak. I mean, we know when he came to an area and taught there, he stayed there for a significant amount of time. He baptized them and hit the door on to the next town. So he's going to be preaching the word to them. He's going to be mentioning important things multiple times.
Michael, you mentioned that you didn't think it was during his imprisonment, right after his third journey, when he hit Jerusalem, after coming down to Caesarea, he was arrested. And so, even though he spent 2 years there, in Caesarea and back and forth in that prison before he sent to Rome, but, he is arrested soon after he, so, you're talking about being the framework of some time maybe after the Jerusalem meeting until right after, until he leaves on his third journey.
That's correct. Doesn't mean it's doesn't didn't happen then because he didn't.
Right.
Because he, if he was in prison, he just didn't talk about it.
Right.
But I do like to. I, to me, it makes sense that it's after his first journey before his second journey.
Michael, I don't know if this will help. Set the time frame. It may not. But and you mentioned earlier that you're going to compare the introduction of this book to some, maybe some other books of Paul. But it is interesting that he gets right into the subject. He doesn't have a lot of glowing comments to make to them about all the things they've done well. He goes right, touches them to the throat and says, what's going on? Does that help us determine how much time? I don't know. But he, this was an urgent matter, and Paul was frustrated with them that they know better. And so that's, again, I don't know if that helps you with the time frame, but it certainly gave Paul the confidence of the Spirit to say, we've had these conversations, and you've heard this before, and what's going on? So,
yeah, your comments are absolutely correct. He jumps straight into it. I don't know if it helps with the time or not. Unless there's some there's conjecture about it, but I believe... Oh, yeah, Mike?
Good pitch.
I was just going to say, I think it's after the first journey, before the second journey. You know, 53 AD-ish time period.
Let me suggest something to make sure it was after the second journey. Because you see in this letter, he is very aggressive in talking about forcing circumcision in the law of Moses on people. When you get into Acts 15 that you've already talked about, that the result of that meeting was they sent letters out. Okay, they sent a letter out.
To Antioch.
And more than just Antioch.
Yes. Okay.
Because that's in the 30th verse. When they sent off, they went down to Antioch and had them gather the congregation. They delivered the letter in verse 31. And when they read it, they rejoiced because of the encouragement. So at this point, this is after the first journey. And after this meeting, they rejoiced over the conscience of that letter, which did not enjoin circumcision in the law of Moses. As a matter of fact, it did just the opposite. That they didn't have to go along, you know, with that. And then on the second journey, in chapter 16, now they're already on the second journey. And so it says in chapter 16, verse 4, as they went through the cities, they delivered them the report of the decision that had been reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So they're carrying this letter to the other churches there in Galatia, Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, and so forth. And so in verse 5, all the churches are strengthened in faith and they increased the numbers daily. So at this point of the second journey, it didn't seem like they had any issue at all with the things that Paul's addressing here. Not with his apostleship, not with, you know, the law of Moses, you know, its burden and them feeling that they ought to be, you know, going by it and bringing new people into it. It seems to me like it would have been after this second journey because of what I read at the close of 15 and beginning of 16.
I can see that fitting even after the first journey, though, because...
See, the first journey occurred after they'd already done the Jerusalem Council.
The first meeting. That's in chapters 13 and 14.
It happened after the first journey, which happened before the Jerusalem Council. This happened after the Jerusalem Council, based on the fact that he's mentioning in his letter, I've already been there to it. You're saying they would place the letter after the second journey? Or you're saying they would still place it before the second journey, like I was saying?
No, I'm thinking when he was on the second journey, that they received that letter well. They would not have received that letter well if there was an issue among them concerning the same thing we wrote the Galatian letter about.
But what if they'd already received the Galatian letter before he got there with the letter from Jerusalem?
And that's my point a minute ago. It's hard to tell exactly, but it's all the same subject. I mean, this was very much a subject of the time. And it needed closure, and it was getting closure, but I mean, I see Mike's point, but...
Yeah. His point, it's a good point. And it's still, I guess it's going to go either way. I guess in my mind, you're saying that if they had not received the Galatian letter, so they hadn't had, this has been going on, then they receive it, and he shows up with the Galatian, with the letter from Jerusalem, they wouldn't have taken it well, because it'd be the first time they've heard these things.
Yeah, Mike's point is that then when he writes Galatians, and he says, you know better than this, he's really referring back to chapter 16, saying, this is when he got the letters, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I got it now.
But we know it's written after that, because in chapter 2, he's referring back to the meeting.
Yes, yeah, we agree.
After the meeting.
I fully agree. It's after the meeting.
Then he takes that letter sent out for him out immediately. Okay. And then he continues on that journey through the other churches. So I think the timing, and I'll say this, it doesn't really matter to me when it was written.
Yeah, that's the truth. I was going to get there. It doesn't matter when the letter was written. It's not that big a deal. And you start reading a bunch of all these things, and you get lost up, caught up in this stuff. There's still the idea that...
To me, it's an important point when I teach Acts.
Yeah.
And I will be included in teaching Acts.
And there's an experienced studier back here. His insight. I guess in my mind also, if they'd already... everyone can, I guess... if they've already received what they're supposed to have done, and then now they've gone ahead and messed up and done it anyway, that can still happen. I guess in my mind it was like, why would they have done that if they've already been warned? They've already told explicitly, we don't have to be circumcised. And then they, by whatever time passes, they start doing it anyway. So that's where I was thinking it'd be more after the first journey. That, these people who came from Jerusalem, who've gone through Antioch, which began the fact that Paul had to go to Jerusalem, those men were still out there, and they've made it into Galatia time frame. Now he comes back from Jerusalem, right after Jerusalem, after his first journey, and he writes his letter, maybe having heard word of the fact that this is now occurring there. Those good comments. It's good things to think about. I can't say I'm right. It's one way or the other. But Jamie?
I have a question about Galatians 1:13, he talks about how he was a persecutor of the church. And then in Galatians 1:18, he says that 3 years later I went to Jerusalem. And then in 2:1, he says, and after an interval of 14 years, and that's talking about the Jerusalem meeting when he went with Barnabas and he took Titus with him. So is it possible that we could figure it out using those years there? I mean, I don't know, but...
But that gives you the idea, the time frame when the Jerusalem Council happens, but that doesn't tell you when he actually wrote this letter. So we know, that's what we established, we know when the Jerusalem Council happened in 50 AD. We know he wrote this after he'd been there, after the Jerusalem Council. Now, was it before the second journey or after the second journey?
It seems to me, just thinking about the first journey when he went through Iconium, this is where he was stoned. The Jews that mocked to stone Paul. And so it would seem to me, logically, with what he's writing about and everything like that, that it would not be too soon after he went through there the first time and was stoned and left for dead, that he had a chance to really, go back through and preach again and, and convert a lot of those Gentiles there. But he was in Iconium, and it doesn't mention him. That's going into the Galatia area and everything like that. But in those areas there, and of course it goes down to Lystra, it just seems like it would be a few years past his stoning.
These are all good comments. And I think we're going to move on. We've covered it. We may not have answered it exactly, but we've got to keep continuing. The recipients, who did you write this letter to? Galatians 1:2, everyone, who did you write it to?
Churches of Galatia.
That's right, the churches of Galatia. So this was written to a general region, to multiple churches. You know, this is the only epistle where he'd written to multiple churches instead of to a specific individual or a specific congregation. To answer why he did that, let's first discuss the region of Galatia. What can we learn about Galatia? It's one of the largest provinces of Central Asia at that time. It consisted of northern and some southern parts, which is today modern Turkey. I have a map attached. It gives you a general idea. I found lots of different maps, and they're all different. So, so you see, just looking at the map, it's the area that's sort of south of Bithynia. It's to the it's bordered on the west by Phrygia. Pontus is sort of to the northish, also to the eastish. So it depends where you draw that boundary. It may not extend way over to the Black Sea like that. And it extends, that's supposed to be the general northern area based on other sources, Jerome and so forth. And its area continues further south into the Lyconia area. That's where things get a little mixy. There's another area in the region there that sort of segregates the two. But you see it gets down to the cities of Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and that general area. And I guess the ambiguity there is due to several different reasons. You know, expansion, political powers moving and who owns what. And political power doesn't always coincide with the actual people and the type of people. In that expansion and contraction of certain ethnicities. You know, your political power could hold a general region and may have multiple ethnicities in that area. So what are you talking about, political or the actual people? The term Galatia is derived from the word Gaul. I remember that from my history classes in school. The Romans were always fighting the Gauls. The Gauls were this sort of an empire to themselves before the Romans, the Celtic tribes in the northern parts of Europe, which extended all the way down to the northern part of Italy before Rome grew. And we know history shows us that these Gauls and conquerors settled in this area approximately 280 BC. So long before Christ, they moved in. They're warrior-like people. And then when they couldn't expand any further, they sort of settled and intermixed with the Greeks in the region. As a result of this, the Romans later conquered this region, declared it Rome 20, 30 years before Christ was born. And it remained, at this point, a Roman colony or territory at the time of the letter. And as a result of how these peoples are made up, the language of the region was Greek and Gaulish. They retained their Gaulish dialects until the 5th century that's written by history, by Jerome. But they spoke fluent Greek, and we know that the epistle that Paul wrote was in Greek. So he wrote them in the Greek, they can understand it and read it. But they also have this Gallic language, and we see that today in the Hispanics in the region, that different groups, with their own region or language, sort of that differentiates them from surrounding regions. And so Galatia, why he may have wrote to just specifically Galatia, there's a group of people who have their own language. It sort of segregates them from the surrounding regions who don't have that language. And those type of people may follow the same mindset and have similar characteristics. So maybe that he wrote this to those people. He dragged that in because they have of like mind. We know that these weren't the only people who were troubled by the people trying to trouble them to direct them to be circumcised. We know that happened in Antioch. We know that happened in Jerusalem itself. So that's nothing that sets them apart from any of the other Christians of the day. The cities of the region are Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Possibly, said the regional boundaries vary. We're going to see why I sort of lumped them in with Galatia in this next section of Paul's connection to them. He's been there on several journeys. you know, establishing churches and then strengthening those churches. In Acts 14, I'm not going to read all of that. That was for your own reading. It's talking about when Paul was in Iconium and what happened there. The first journey, he's preaching at Iconium. And when there's a violent attempt on his life by the Gentiles and the Jews, in verse 6, it says, he became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. So we know this is the general area we're talking about. Is Lystra and Derbe part of the Galatian region, or is that Galatian region that other bit there? Not really certain. And it goes through. And then, in 21 through 23, just again says they preached the gospel in the city. They made many disciples. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And they had many tribulations. They appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting and commended them to the Lord and how they believed.
Mike?
Yes.
Are you including Antioch and Syria as in Galatia, or are you excluding?
I just didn't make it up because I wasn't certain. I always felt more confident in labeling these churches, and that's why I have the statement, and there's others nearby. There's talk about where the boundary of Galatia is. I'm not certain it's Antioch of Pisidia or not. So it very well could be. I just say, hey, these churches and the surrounding churches, certainly we know that these letters were preserved and they are now here for us. I'm sure it made it to churches beyond Galatia even at that time. Do you have a point further about that, or just
no? I just saw where you were, and like you say, it's hard looking at the map.
Yeah.
It looks like the city is actually a province within a larger province.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking it would probably be in Galatia because it's not in Asia, which is the one that was just west of it.
I got you. Picking my mind so you don't clash with me. Just going about this. We do know Galatians 4, verse 19. It says, here it's talking about my little children, speaking to the Galatians, for whom I labor and birth again until Christ is formed in you. Gives the idea that we know Paul went through this region, and there's other verses as well that, in 15, says, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Shows this close relationship that the Galatians had with Paul. He's their father, or brought them to Christ. Kind of, you know, this, and if he's serious or not about this plucking out your own eyes, it's the general idea that these people would listen to him and do what he says, at least at one point in time. We're studying this verse that came into question later, but at the time when he was there, that was the case. In Galatians 16, verses 1 through 6, this is the second journey in Acts to the region. Well, they've been here before. Who wants to read 1 through 6?
Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed that his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Zahir, you want to discuss before we take off? He's just talking about Derbe and Lystra, preaching there, going through. In verse 6, the churches were all strengthened in faith, increased in number daily. And 6 says, and when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden to go on. And so, in my mind, it's just saying, it wasn't like separate from Lystra and Derbe here. He's now gone through those regions, and now he's saying, now that he's completed the regions of Galatia and Phrygia, he's moved on to another city. The Lystra and Derbe are part of that region. We know Phrygia borders right on it, so includes that whole area. Mark the spot where we stop. I'll have a little further.
I don't know about the HVAC. I just got it cool and
they do. Thank you.